You are listening to the Sheep Guarding Llama Podcast for Friday, June 23rd, 2006. This is episode 48, and welcome to the show, and welcome to summer of 2006. Delphinium Blue with Boy 17, brought to you by the PodSafe Music Network, which you can find online at music.podshow.com. All right, everybody, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us. And this is great. We're up to episode 48. I can't believe how fast this has been going by. Just two episodes away from episode 50, which is like kind of landmark. I mean, 100 will be really, really cool, but 50 is definitely something to be able to hit. I'm really excited tonight because for those of you who listened to episode 47, which is just yesterday, first of all, the big thing is 2 days in a row. This is really something. And I listened to myself as I did the intro for this, and I realized I kind of sound like Will Wheaton when I do the show, at least when I'm in. This is one of my good voice days, and maybe it's because I'm on the hardwood and it's extra echoey, or I don't know. But sometimes I surprise myself when I hear myself do the recording. But the weather is actually cooler tonight, which is awesome. It's actually dropped into the low 70s. It's raining lightly outside. We had some thunderstorms, but I don't think it's doing too much right now, but I was able to open up the windows. The air conditioning is off. There are no fans running, so I'm actually able to do the show in relative silence. And hopefully, with all the air conditioning shut off everywhere, I'm not too loud for the upstairs neighbors, because normally with the air conditioning running, I could probably have a small war down here and they wouldn't hear me. But with everything turned off everywhere, it's hard to tell. It's so echoey. But I'm not really using a very loud voice. I'm using the same kind of voice I would use if I was talking to someone in the apartment. So hopefully that's not too loud. But it's a great morning, and I'm excited to be back doing the show. And this is really cool. Just a lot has been going on with SGL over the last couple days. And right now, it is 2 a.m. I'm recording the show in the middle of the night, and I'm not working tonight, but my schedule is so thrown off from the past month of working overnights that I ended up going to bed at about 4:30 in the afternoon, and I woke up at 10, having missed a complete night's sleep in there somewhere. At some point during the week, I lost a day. And at no point, I don't think this week, have I slept over 8 hours. Slept up to 8 hours. Most of the days have been between like 3 and 6 hours. Today being a full 5.5. So that's about all I've been getting. But so right now, like I said, it's 2 a.m. And in just 5 hours, I need to be in a cab on my way to New Brunswick Station. I'm going to be catching the New Jersey Transit Northeast Corridor train going into Manhattan. I'm going to take that into Penn Station right there on 34th. And unfortunately, then I'm going to be stuck at Penn Station for about an hour as I wait to catch the Amtrak. I'm not even sure what I'm taking. I think it's the Lakeshore Limited. That makes the most sense, actually. Got it right here on my screen. Let's check. I'll be riding... Oh, no, I'm taking the Empire Service, line 281, from New York's Penn Station up to Utica, New York, where Dominica, my lovely wife, will be picking me up at 2 o'clock this afternoon, so a little bit less than 12 hours from now. And I'm going to be in Utica and Frankfurt for the weekend. And then I actually have to work tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow being Sunday. I guess we're calling this the Friday show, but it's early Saturday morning. So Saturday at 2 o'clock, I'll be arriving in Utica. Sunday at 2 o'clock, I have to work. I have to do that from Frankfurt. It's the only way I can fit it in the schedule. And then when I'm done working, Dominic and I have to pretty quickly drive down to North Brunswick again, because I have to work again at Sunday at midnight, so technically Monday morning. So it's like every weekend, it is so much busier than the week. It's kind of awful. But all right, it's been great down here. I'm very excited. Now, a lot of you have been wondering about what we're planning on doing. Now that we're down here, what are we kind of looking forward to? Well, the first thing is, Dominica and I have decided that living this close to New York City is awesome. And before we had moved down here, before we had even known there was any possibility of moving down here, we had really thought that we wanted to move to a city. And we had looked at a number of cities. We were kind of looking casually. Nothing was happening quite yet. And her job in Rochester was pretty good, so we weren't going to just pack up and leave. But we were looking at the possibility of moving into Rochester, which we didn't think we wanted to do, but we did look into it. There were some nice new condos being built downtown. We looked at Buffalo. Buffalo was a very good possibility. We wouldn't be too far away, but it's got a lot more city feel than almost any city in upstate New York. It's pretty big. It's got nice amenities, nice buildings. You can get really nice lakefront condos, which is a big deal for us. If we're going to be in a city like Buffalo, being lakefront is totally the way to go. You can get some pretty nice living, not too expensively, in the lake cities, Chicago, Cleveland, Detroit, Buffalo, Erie. I've actually seen amazing condos in Erie, which I think I've talked about on the show almost a year ago. Absolutely gorgeous. The waterfront on May the Lakes are really prime spots to live. I can't believe that more people don't take advantage of it, but you know, the United States has, and Canada, have a tremendous amount of lake frontage that is almost as good as being oceanfront. So much so that we have more lakefront than most countries have oceanfront, even. I believe that we may have more, between the U.S. and Canada together, we may have more lakefront on the Great Lakes than England has oceanfront anywhere. So, I mean, there's just a tremendous amount of opportunity for waterfront homes. And almost anywhere on the Great Lakes, with the exception of some of the, like, the Northwest Lake Superior region, you're pretty close to civilization. Lake Ontario, anywhere on Lake Ontario, you've got major cities nearby. Buffalo, Rochester, Kingston, Syracuse, Watertown, Toronto, Ottawa, St. Catharines, Niagara Falls. I mean, there is plenty of places to live in between those cities that you're just close to a lot of things. And the waterfront's gorgeous. You can go boating. You can do shipping on there. You can do almost all the activities you would on the ocean, but at just a tiny fraction of the cost and a lot more safely in most cases. So, Cheap. Just can't stress how cheaply you can get onto many of the lakes. So, and Lake Erie with Cleveland and Buffalo again, and Lake Michigan. Now, Lake Superior starts getting pretty remote, but it's also got some of the nicest area around it. So, if you don't mind getting too far away, you can definitely get some awesome stuff up on Lake Superior for really inexpensive. But the weather starts getting a lot worse up there, too. Start getting pretty brutal. Not that Lake Ontario is not brutal, but so anyway, that's my rant on waterfront. But so we decided that we need to be closer to the city. We're living out in North Brunswick, which is about 5 miles outside of New Brunswick. Now, New Brunswick is a pretty nice city, and we did look at moving into New Brunswick itself. New Brunswick is, for those who don't know, the home of Rutgers University, which is the State University of New Jersey, a very, very excellent institution, very large school right there in the city. So it's kind of handy. It's kind of like a big version of Ithaca. Well, actually, I'm not sure it's that much larger than Ithaca. It is bigger, but I'm not sure how much. But it does have high rises. Beautiful new condos are being built right now on Spring Street. There's theater and restaurants, and the Amtrak and New Jersey Transit train station is located right in the center of town, which makes it incredibly handy from New Brunswick. If you live in the city, right downtown, you can walk to the train station and get a commuter line right into New York City or into Philly from New Jersey Transit, or you can hop Amtrak and go to New York, which is not convenient. You would take New Jersey Transit, but you could take down to Washington, up to Montreal, to Rochester or Buffalo. Pretty much any direction you want to go, you can get pretty easily from New Brunswick. So it's a really cool location, and it's got a lot of culture and stuff to do, but it's not incredibly inexpensive, so it doesn't have a lot of cost advantages over other areas for us, and it's still quite some distance from my job, so I would still be commuting about 45 minutes a day, which is pretty far for moving into a city and still having to commute 45 minutes out of the city. It's got really bad traffic, and anything going to where I work has to be done by car because it's pretty far out. So there's no public transportation advantages for my job. For Dominica, who is most likely going to work in Manhattan, New Brunswick is only marginally better equipped for going into Manhattan than where we are now in North Brunswick, but it does, as I said, cost quite a bit more because we're quite inexpensive as you get out here to North Brunswick. But the time to go into Manhattan is long enough that whether we're here or there, it would still cause us to not go in on say a work night. It's cumbersome. For a weekend going in, it's really, really easy. If you live downtown New Brunswick, you can walk to the train station. That's the important thing, is if you have to take a car to the train station, then you have problems. That's the way we are here in North Brunswick, even though we're really close to the Jersey Ave station. You have to drive to there. You can't quite walk there, and it doesn't run at very convenient times, which is really a problem here. But if you have to drive there, suddenly you have to pay a lot for parking. It makes it a lot more expensive to go in and a lot more cumbersome, and it adds quite a bit of time. It's surprising, but measure it sometime when you drive to something like that and figure out how much the drive time actually takes, even for a very short trip. By the time you get in the car, get out of the car, park the car, pay for parking the car, remember where the car is, and do all that, you lose a bit of time. And so if you live in downtown New Brunswick, which we looked at, and were able to walk to the train station, it would make commuting to Manhattan reasonable as opposed to unreasonable where we are now. It's doable from here on a short-term basis, but as a long-term, you own a house and do this every day, you definitely wouldn't want to do it. From New Brunswick, can be done, but it's still quite a stretch to want to do it every day. But at least it would be easy. It would just be an hour each way on the train every day, which isn't too bad. I mean, it's better than my commute, which is almost an hour each way driving, and you're not going nearly as far. So I guess I can't complain too much about that if that's what we were to do. So that's not entirely not an option, but we're pretty much against New Brunswick because it's just too far out. So what we've from what we've been looking at, we really think that we want to live. We're pretty sure we need to be in New Jersey because of my job, because of the commute times. We did look at Staten Island, which is for those who don't know, it's actually in New York City. Staten Island is one of the five boroughs, but it's located to the southwest quite a bit. So if you live in Staten Island, getting to Manhattan is a little bit cumbersome. You hop the ferry. It takes about half an hour on the ferry, 25 minutes. So if you live right next to the ferry, and there are some nice new condos being built next to the ferry, it's not too bad. So for Dominica to work in Manhattan, that would actually be pretty good because she could take the ferry, and it drops you right off at three subway stations, and you can just take that wherever you need to go. So that's not bad. It would be a bit of an improvement. The culture on Staten Island, though, is a bit more bedroom community than New Brunswick is, so you lose a bit of the culture, you lose a bit of the nightlife, the shows, that kind of thing. But it's a little bit easier going into Manhattan, so it makes up for it a little bit in that way. But my commute going out to Warren would be not so good. It would be about 45 minutes. Better than where we are now, which is surprising, but not good, and crossing the bridge every day is very expensive. So Staten Island is an option, but we're not sure how good of a one. But we did like the area. We drove through Staten Island. We thought there was a lot of stuff that we could see liking. But it has the downside that there are very few condos or any type of housing of you know, townhouses, that kind of stuff on Staten Island. It's a lot more freestanding, detached homes, which is nicer for most people, but we don't prefer. So Staten Island is a pretty tough option for us. So we're pretty much looking at Jersey City and Hoboken, which are right against the Hudson River, overlooking Manhattan on the west side. So if you live in Jersey City, you're like in the Jersey extension of Midtown Manhattan, which is pretty much exactly what we're looking for. From Jersey City, my commute actually drops to a half hour, so it cuts my commute in half from what it is now. And it's highway driving instead of back roads driving, which is nice because it's a little bit easier on the car. It's not nearly so stressful to do if you need to, you know, eat breakfast in the car or whatever. It's you just drive. You're not constantly the way that I go. I make a turn every half mile, and lights and trains to wait for, and unbelievable traffic, and you inch along, and you're shifting every 2 seconds, and you have to climb some hills. It's just it's not a very pleasant drive, and it's not like you're going through nice scenery. So that my drive would be immensely improved being out in Jersey City, and for Dominica to get in to Manhattan actually becomes incredibly convenient, because from there she would be able to go to like Greenwich Village, Tribeca, that area where she's most likely to work, in about 25 minutes from door to door, not an hour on the train and then getting to wherever she needs to be. It's about 15 or 20 minutes into the city and then just a few minutes, because she's a lot closer to where she would need to be coming in from the correct side. So it's from a travel standpoint, it's an optimum solution. It's probably about as good as we could possibly get. And one of the advantages of Jersey City is it itself is much more of the city lifestyle. It's high rises, it's condos, it's nice views of Manhattan. You really get the feeling that you're just about in Manhattan when you're there, which is really what we're looking for at this point. We're living so close to New York, and we're paying the New York prices pretty much where we are. So we've kind of decided that not taking advantage of living this close to the city is just a really bad idea. You don't want to. We're kind of in that it's the wrong area band where you're not getting the advantages of the city, but you're getting a lot of the disadvantages. You get heavy traffic, high cost, just all the things that come with being just 11 miles outside of New York City, but we don't get any of the positive feels of New York. We don't get any of the shows. We don't get any of the quick travel. We don't get any of the public transportation. We don't get any of the niceties. People who come and stay with us end up staying in a place just like the outskirts of Rochester, the outskirts of Buffalo, and what's the point? But if you live in Jersey City, you know, anyone who comes to visit us, it's like staying at a hotel in New York City. It's as good as what you would do if you were going there to vacation. So we think we'll really enjoy having the New York style lifestyle. So what are we going to do this logistically? What we're thinking is we're going to, in about 4 months, in October is when we're done here in North Brunswick. We only had a 6-month lease. So what we think we're going to do is we're going to rent for a year in Jersey City because we don't know the area very well. So we want to put in some time, get to know the area, make sure it's really where we want to be, make sure that everything's cool and investigate the real estate market thoroughly. And then hopefully be able to buy a condo during that year and actually move into Jersey City or perhaps Hoboken. They kind of blend together there. But we think Jersey City, a little bit less expensive, a little bit closer to the city. So that's our thought. Our house in Geneseo, everybody's been asking about that. Currently, we're going to have to sell it. There's just no way around it. Renting is not available as an option because of the homeowners association. We could beg them, and they might let us, but we know they wouldn't appreciate us using it as a standard rental property where we just had anyone come in who could pay the fee and have a lease and all that. They'd really want people to be hand selected, and unfortunately, we don't have really the ability to do that logistically. We don't know anyone who's really interested in it. It's a pretty expensive spot to be in Geneseo, so it's pretty much out of everyone's reach who would be renting. So it's a tough situation. So we love the house. And, you know, especially tonight, it's raining here in New Jersey, and I was out walking around a little bit in the rain. It's a light rain. And I was enjoying it, and I was thinking, oh, wouldn't it be great if I was back home in Geneseo and the weather was like this? It was 75 degrees and that light summer rain that's so comfortable. And I just imagine how nice it would be to be in Geneseo with out on the deck with the umbrella up and my laptop on the table, and I could record the SGL podcast episode right there sitting at the table. And, oh, wouldn't that be wonderful? But the reality is that that deck, which we love, the view from it overlooks nothing. There are trees directly, well, it's more shrub, directly against the back of it within like 30, 40 feet. So there's no view out the back whatsoever. And what little bit you can see is the lights of Walmart coming through the trees. So you don't get the woodsy feel. You don't have any scenic view. Off to the western view, boy, I just couldn't think of what direction it was. Off to the west, you can see Lima Road. You can see the cars coming down Lima Road. But with all the new houses, pretty much you're just looking at people's backyards with cars going between the houses. It's not very exciting. You don't get the nice city-style view where you kind of see life going on, but you also don't get the country view where it's kind of wildlife and green and maybe hills and valleys. So that you know, that deck really loses a lot from that. So maybe that's my justification of leaving Geneseo. But it's definitely true that it was kind of an in-between situation. It's incredibly convenient for going to the store, things like that. But when it came down to, you know, going out to eat, we only went to one place. We loved the place that we went to, but you know, it was the same place every day. Previously, when we lived in Ithaca, Dominica and I, we used to go out almost every night to do a different restaurant, try out new food and new places, and You know, even Ithaca, a small city, if you go downtown, you know, you sit at a cafe, we would eat outside all the time, and you could watch people go by. I'm a big people watcher. I just like seeing life. It's really a result. I grew up in the country, in a very isolated situation, so that seeing a person walk down the road was something that definitely did not happen once a week. It happened closer to once a month. Maybe during the summer it happened once every week or every other week, but then during the other 9 months, you were lucky if it happened once a season. So, on average, you know, people outside your house, visible from your windows, was it just didn't happen. Once in a while, you would see a tractor working in the field, and that was a little bit of something. But I think people who grow up in villages or in cities and don't know what it's like having that isolation don't really have an appreciation for how much enjoyment you can derive from seeing life happening. And for me, it's a really big deal. I think I was really affected by growing up in the country. There's obviously lots and lots of benefits of being in the country. I don't want to knock it. I know a lot of people love it, and I enjoyed it. Being able to go outside, not having to lock your doors, that stuff's great. Not having to worry about things, and you can leave things in the yard if you need to, but you shouldn't. You can go out and bicycle right on the road because cars don't come by, and you can just go for walks anywhere and go and never have to worry about anything. That's great. There's just so much fun stuff in the country, but when it comes to things going on, there's no entertainment. You have to entertain yourself completely, and even just looking out the window pretty much means looking at nothing. I was really fortunate that where my parents' farm was there's quite a view. So, it's not uncommon to look out the windows. And we were really lucky that we actually overlooked Geneseo. So you could pull out binoculars and watch life going on in Geneseo 11 miles away, 10 miles away. You could see the cars moving on the streets. You could see people parking in the parking lots. But it was so far away that you really couldn't see people. You could just see the lights of the cars moving. And you could see the twinkling lights across the valley at night, which was gorgeous. And I loved having that. And at night, it worked out really well. But during the day, you pretty much couldn't see anything through the haze. And so it just loses something. But and the one thing I could see when I was a kid is my elderly neighbor to the south would occasionally go out and work in his garden. So that was the one person you could kind of make out through the trees once in a while. A couple times a year I'd be able to see him. But that was about it. So I don't think people who haven't grown up in a situation like that appreciate what it's like to not see other people ever. Just casual interaction was absolutely non-existent. It didn't happen. People who live in villages have this kind of concept of your neighbors, we'll just walk over to the neighbor's house. The neighbor knows our names, they know who we are. But growing up where we did, if you went down just two houses in either direction. Our direct next-door neighbor to the south was there my entire childhood, and I knew him. He was an elderly gentleman, a widower, who was probably in his 70s or so when I was a child. So definitely not someone I would have any regular interaction with, but I did know who he was. And our other neighbor in the other direction, and we only had one on either side of the road that was visible at all. When I was very young, there were a neighbor with kids that lived there. The kids were older than me, but not so much so that I would never see them, but I probably only ever went over there to play with them a couple of times. The age difference was enough, and the distance was enough that, as a child, you couldn't walk to the neighbor's house safely until I was old enough and they had moved away. And then later on, we got different neighbors, and I never even learned who they were. They were far enough away that if there wasn't a reason to know your neighbors, you really didn't. And if you do go just one house farther in either direction, you reach neighbors that I have never known. And as you go, five, six, seven houses down, pretty soon you're at the end of the road, and that's all there is for neighbors. And so for those who know, Josh and I actually grew up just 10 houses away from each other. I think I actually counted it one day. 10 houses away, but it was several miles. We lived in different counties. We lived with different phone extensions, so it was long distance to call each other. And we were in different school districts. And so later when we went to high school together, going to visit each other, you had to have a car to go see each other. We never once walked in between each other's houses. I walked halfway one time, and we did bicycle occasionally, but it was with the hills and everything. It was a pretty major undertaking to bike that far. So just 10 houses away. And only making two turns, not like some weird, convoluted way to avoid going past houses. These are huge stretches of roads. It was the nearest way. Go down, take the first right, first left, and his house was 10 houses away. So I'm really looking forward to being in a city where when you look out your windows, you can see, you know, cars moving on the street, people going into shops, whatever. It's just, it's something that I've never had that's pretty cool. And living out here in North Brunswick, and I lived in Greece for a while, and I lived in Ithaca. But when I lived in Ithaca, we lived in pretty remote areas for the most part, and you didn't see too much. We did have neighbors, and sometimes we got to know them, and we would see people come and go. But it's not quite the same as having a dense population, nothing like living in a village. At Greenleaf and here at North Brunswick, it's really, really dense. And I do see people all the time. Actually, people walk directly past our windows on a regular basis. You'll go out, ice cream trucks come in, you'll run out and get ice cream, and you see the same people. So I get a little bit of it here, but it's also not a nice view at all. And it being a kind of a less expensive apartment, you definitely don't have any of the niceties of living in a place with designed to have a view, I guess. So it's just, we're really looking forward to trying out the city lifestyle and seeing what we think. And with Jersey City, the spot that we're looking at, it's close enough to Manhattan that we would be able to go into Manhattan for meals if we wanted to. It's very, very close. My schedule is supposed to be changing to where I work 4 a.m. To noon or a little bit after noon, which is a bit different than what I'm doing now. Now I'm officially doing the overnight, working from home. But I'm only doing the overnight as a fill-in. My actual schedule is just regular daytime hours, which are pretty flexible about, but, you know, 9 to 5, roughly. It's actually 8 to 6 that they do. But once I switch to the early morning hours, I will be getting home early enough that dinner will be a very doable thing in Manhattan, or going to a show on any given evening will be things that will be very accessible. And so that's something we're very excited about. You know, living that close to Broadway, most people can go out to the movies on a regular night if they want to. And you don't do it very often, but sometimes you do. But going into Broadway on a weeknight is a really awesome thing to be able to do, especially because once you can do that, you can start getting really cheap tickets and see shows that you just couldn't see otherwise. So we're really hoping to take advantage of that. So, all right, well, I've rambled on for quite a bit about Jersey City, so I'm going to let that go. You just got about 25 minutes of kind of our housing situation recap down here, but it's a pretty big part of our lives right now. That's what's going on. We're deciding where to live. We're deciding about the jobs that we're doing. And Dominica's going to school. She's doing a couple classes at Empire State right now, SUNY Empire. And she's pretty sure that she's going to go for her bachelor's in CIS, which will be a lot easier than going for a master's, considering how much of her bachelor's work she would have to do to be able to get into a master's program. My bachelor's is wrapping up, it looks like. I did finish 2 years ago, but they just haven't issued me my degree yet, which is a real problem that 2 years is an unbelievable amount of time. Now, for someone like me who's been in college for 12 years, 2 years kind of flies by and you don't really think about it because I don't need my degree for anything, and I really just did it for myself. But I wrapped up a degree, a bachelor's degree, 2 years ago, and if I was a normal student who had put in, you know, 3 full-time years or 4 years spreading it out the way most people do, 2 years is a huge amount of time to be sitting around not having a degree after having completed and putting in, you know, put in all the money for the degree, put in all that time that most people do not working. That's a lot to have to wait to get a piece of paper saying you actually did it. And I don't know how long it's going to take at this point. It should be done. They should just hand it to me, but I'm still having to call in every 2 weeks and make sure that the next bit of paperwork has been done or has been started. Because every time I call in, and it takes many, many tries. I'll email, I'll call and call and call, I'll leave messages. I've never had a message returned in about a year. No emails get returned. I have to call until someone answers the phone, and then I have to press them to, right then, while they're on the phone, send in the next piece of paper to start the next phase of whatever's going on. And quite often, it's really simple stuff. Someone just has to approve this or stamp that or whatever, but getting it done has been like pulling teeth. I just can't believe it. People have just been sitting on their hands for the longest time doing absolutely nothing, and it's been pretty frustrating. So I'm really looking forward to getting that done and out of the way and behind me, and I'd really like to start my work on my master's program. I was accepted to a master's program over a year ago, and can't start because my bachelor's hasn't come through yet. So, but Dominica's working on that. She's wrapping up the same program. It will take her probably about 2 years to do it. She's not going full-time. She's just doing part-time. But there is a bit to do. But she's having a pretty good time with it so far. She's been learning a lot. And she's also still working on her A+, which hopefully she will take very soon. We will see. That's about it. I'm going to wrap up the show, actually, because we're going pretty long. I know yesterday we had been gone for quite some time, and we went for almost an hour. And I know that the show can be pretty tough to listen to for that long, so I'm not going to do that to you today, but I am going to try to get another episode out relatively soon, probably on Monday. I know that there's not going to be much chance to do it over the weekend, but I know that the early Monday morning overnight is very, very slow, so there's quite a bit of opportunity for me to do the show. And hopefully Oreo will be home with me, and he can be here while I do the show. And I'm just very excited to be doing the show again. It's really great, and hopefully we'll be getting back into the groove soon, because it's just a lot of fun, and I know that there's been people listening to the show already, and I'm very excited about that. So, sorry for the boring show today, but had to be done. Had to catch everyone up, kind of, because I know a lot of people only get their information from here and not from SGL itself. So, I'm going to ask Radney Foster with half of my mistakes to take us out of the show for the evening. Have a good weekend, everybody. I'll talk to you next week.
Half of my mistakes I made, stone cold sober. Half of my mistakes I made at closing time. Half the time I never saw it coming till it was over. Half of my mistakes I made with love on the line. Half of my mistakes, I swear I should have known better. Half of my mistakes were just amongst friends. You get a little distance on it, the truth is clearer. Oh, half of my mistakes I'd probably make them again. And if I had it all to do over, I'm sure I'd win and lose just as much. But spend less time on right and wrong, and a lot more time on mistakes I made, 'cause I was moving too quickly. Half of them were made 'cause my heart was moving too slow. Nobody can tell you a damn thing if you ain't listening. Oh, half of my mistakes I made, 'cause I couldn't let go, let it go. if I had it all to do over, I'm sure I'd win and lose just as much. But spend less time on right and wrong, and a lot more time on love. Half of my mistakes, I'd give anything to change how it ended. Half of my mistakes, God, I wouldn't change a thing. You can lean too hard on regrets, but I don't recommend it. 'Cause half the good things in my life came from half my mistakes. Yeah, a lot of good things in my life came from half my mistakes. Half my mistakes.